Welcome to another message from God's Word and a little bit of history today. We're talking about eschatology, the end times. We're studying the book of Mark from Greek. We're in 13 and verse 24, and the title of that is, from 24 to 27, is the coming of the Son of Man. And we'll need to go back into the book of Acts also. It's a later commentary than this, of course. This is, by the way, the Gospel of Mark is probably the oldest gospel there is. It was done probably around 64 A.D. It's before the siege of the Jews and before the destruction of the temple. The rest of them are later than this one. But we talked about God setting aside Israel for a time. Here we have, from the beginning, in eternity past, God had a plan. He created man, put him in innocence in the garden. He sinned. There was a curse of death put upon him, but also a curse of life. Through Genesis 13, 3rd chapter, verse 15, they lived in the age of conscience. They were supposed to do good, offer blood sacrifice. They died. I mean, the whole world was destroyed by a flood. All the land mammals were. The flood came upon us. God reestablished the earth under human government. Responsibility was to scatter and multiply. They didn't. They built the Tower of Babel. And then God confused the languages and divided the continents. And then he calls out Abraham for his name's sake. Through Abraham is going to become a great nation. Abraham died. His children had gone into Egyptian bondage through the sons of Jacob, or the sons of Israel. God raised up Moses to bring Israel out of the land of bondage, Egypt, Mitzrayim. And then we have the promised Messiah from Genesis 3:15 come on the scene. The Jewish people rejected him. In Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22, he was rejected. They murdered him. But with that murder came a curse. God scattered Israel, dispersion of Israel, Ezekiel 36, 16 through 19. And, of course, today he's regathering Israel. And we're talking about the tribulation period and the end times, and we're close to that somehow or another, closer than it was last year or 20, 30, 40 years ago or in 1981 or 80, I guess, when I wrote my doctor's thesis on the book of Revelation. But now we're in the end time. Now, God deals with mankind in miraculous ways, always. During the tribulation period, there's going to be great signs and wonders in heaven. There's going to be false prophets that do miracles. Now, all the time from Jesus' death, which is about 33 and a half A.D., all the way to the destruction of the temple of Jerusalem and the Jewish people. Now, in the book of Josephus, I could go over there and get that for just a moment. I've got different quotes from different books here. If I can find that very quick. Over here. I see Josephus in three volumes, but there it is in one. Excuse me for walking out of the camera for a minute. The works of Josephus. He was a Jewish man in the high priest family, and he wrote several books, and in the books he told about some horrible things. And in this book, it's a history. Now, the Roman government paid him to do this. So, but he wrote the history of these people. And he wrote things down that were contrary to their thought and their ideas. He simply said that Jesus Christ was Messiah and that Israel was going to be punished for killing their Messiah. And that's basically what happened. In this other book, in Eusebius, here, Eusebius' history, I'm going to relate some things to you in history that were signs that God tried to get Israel's attention. In Josephus' history, he tells about a woman that was besieged in the city, and the people were starving to death. And he said, all of this came upon Israel because of the vengeance of God, because they crucified God, the Son, Jehovah, promised in the Old Testament. The word Jehovah means he who shall become, doesn't it? He who shall become. And the people were starving to death. They started eating their shoes. The sandals had leather on them, and they would boil the leather until they could chew it and swallow it because they were starving to death. They would go out and pick up any weed, any plant that was edible and eat it. They would take straw and boil it and eat it. Straw is a byproduct. But they were so hungry, their stomachs were swelling. They were in a horrible time. People were looting. The people were so bad when Jerusalem was under siege. A lot of the Jews went from the other cities and went into Jerusalem, but then they were all locked in Jerusalem. There was no food. They would kill each other over a morsel of food. They were killing sparrows and eating sparrows. They were killing everything that walked or whatever. Clean or unclean. When they were starving to death, they ate anything. If there was a pigskin wallet or something or shoes, they would eat them. If there was camels, they would eat the camels. Camels, they would boil the camel hide and eat it. They were eating everything. They would, if you were a little bit, if you had flesh on you, looked like you were healthy, they followed you wherever you went because they knew you must have food, and they would go in there and kill you and torture you to take your food. A woman or a child or anything didn't matter. All this is going on. This is when Jerusalem was under siege. But before Jerusalem went under siege, God sent forth signs in the heavens. Josephus said one time that there was stars lined up, and it looked like a sword coming down right on the city of Jerusalem. Signs in the heaven. Like a sword was coming down. They looked at that, and they just, oh, well, God just loves His people. God was warning them that the end is about, your destruction is about to come. Repent or perish. Basically, they could have repented. If they would have repented, God would not have done that. But Jesus said they wouldn't repent. He said, as He stood on the Mount of Olives and looked over there, He said, not very many times, days from now, there won't be one stone left upon another. Titus Caesar was so upset that they went down and cut every olive tree, every tree down, and they sowed the ground with salt so that it wouldn't produce anything. There were so many people, Josephus said, there were so many people died that sometimes when somebody was burying somebody, they would fall in the ditch with them and they would die. The last of their strength was done, and they would spend all of their strength trying to bury the ones they loved, and they would probably sometimes, their heart would quit and they would fall in the ditch in the grave with them. And then so many died that their bodies were just laying all over the streets. The stench was horrible. Some of the Jews, the Christians, as they were looking, the early churches, they would look at what was happening. They said, God's vengeance upon Israel. God's vengeance upon His people for what they did. They ate anything. Necessity of food forced them to apply their teeth to everything, it says here. And gathering what was no food, even the filthiest of irrational animals, they devoured it. They did not abstain, at least even from belts and shoes. They took the hides from their shields and devoured them. Some even used the remnants of old straw as food. Others gathered the stubble and sold a very small weight of it for 4 attic drachmas. And why should we speak of the excessive severity of the famine displayed upon the inanimate objects? I'm going to relate a piece of wickedness, such as is not recorded by either Greeks or barbarians. It is horrid to relate and incredible to hear. Indeed, at least, I must appear to deal in a marvelous stories. But he said, what I'm telling you is the truth. The woman that dwelt beyond the Jordan named Maria, the daughter of Eleazar of the village of Bethzar, signifying the home of Hyssop, distinguished for her family and wealth, having taken refuge in Jerusalem. Remember, I told you they went all from all the cities. They just came into Jerusalem to the outlying cities. Jerusalem was the strongest city with walls. But they went in there and they were walled in without food. The rest of the multitude was shut up in the cities. The tyrants had already robbed her of all her other possessions. As much as she had, she collected and brought with her from beyond the river into the city. But as to the relics of her property, Josephus is writing about this. Whatever food she provided, the ruffians daily rushing in seized it and tore and bore it away. A dreadful indignation overpowered the woman, and frequently reviling and cursing the robbers, she endeavored by these means to irritate them against herself. But as no one, either through resentment or pity, would slay her, she was weary of providing food for others, and there was now no probability of finding it anywhere else. The famine now penetrated the very bowels and the marrow. Resentment, rage, and hate. As they became hungrier and hungry, they hated everything. They hated everyone. They had no respect for the old. They had no respect for the young. They would beat a man's brains out just for an olive. Urged by frenzy and necessity, she proceeded against nature itself, seizing her little son, who was at her breast, and she said, wretched child, in the midst of war and famine and faction, for what do I preserve you? Our condition among the Romans, though we might live, is slavery. But even slavery is anticipated by famine, and the assassins are more cruel than either. The assassins in the city, their own people, were more cruel than the Romans. Come, little child, you can be food for me for a while. As she said this, she slew her son, then roasting him, she ate one half of it herself. Covering over the rest, she kept it, and it was not long before the murderers came in, perceiving the fumes of the food. They smelled food cooking. They threatened immediately to slay her if she did not produce what she had prepared. She answered, as she reserved the fine portion of it, she said, I reserved the fine portion of it for you. Then removed the relics of her son. Horror and amazement immediately seized them. They stood mute, speechless. This is my own son, she said, and the deed is mine. Eat, for I too have eaten. Be not more delicate than a woman, nor more tender than a mother. But if you are so pious and reject my offering, I have already eaten half, and let the rest remain for me then. If you don't want to eat it, I'll eat it. Cannibalism. After this, they indeed went trembling away, cowardly, at least at this one instant, and yet scarcely yielding to the mother even this kind of food. The whole city was filled with dreadful crime and everyone placing wickedness before his eyes. And yet, the horror that was committed in this city was greater than any horror they'd ever witnessed or even read about in the past. The wretched people, overcome with hunger, often strove to kill themselves. They'd rather die than starve to death by their own hands. And he said here, such then was the vengeance that followed the guilt and impiety that the Jews did against the Christ of God. What a story, huh? What a story. Against the Christ of God. Jesus said, you'll not see me again until you say, blessed and holy is he that came in the name of the Lord. We read in a few verses before this how Jesus looked down on the city of Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, how many times I would have called you as a mother hen does her baby chickens. Like that. But you would not come. You would not come. They killed him. They murdered him. They committed perjury, lies, false witness. Everything that was in the law, they committed it to get Jesus out of the scene, because he will take our nation and our religion away from us. They had power. The book of Daniel prophesied this. The book of Ezekiel, the book of Malachi. And all they could think of, they had murder in their hearts. And now they would kill one another. Even a mother would kill her child and eat it. Horrible, horrible things. And if the Lord had not shortened the days, no human life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, whom he chose for himself, he shortened the days. Daniel 12 and verse 1. God sent him signs. Even in that 40 years after his death, from AD 33 or so, from all 70 AD, he sent signs to call them unto him. But they would not come. They would not come. If anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, or look here, do not believe it. Only one time he came. For false Christs and false prophets will arise, and they will provide signs and wonders in order to deceive, if such thing possible, even the elect, those who are chosen for himself. But be on your guard. I have told you everything in advance. But in those days, after the suffering and the distress of the tribulation, the sun shall be darkened and the moon will not give its light. Isaiah 13 and verse 10. And the stars will be falling from the sky, and the powers that are in the heavens shall be shaken. Isaiah 34 and verse 4. All of it's prophecy. In the book of Josephus and in the book of Eusebius there, both of them putting forth the name of the Messiah that was murdered by Israel, and great calamity would come upon them. But today, if you're out in the world, anywhere in the world, and you've rejected Jesus Christ as your Messiah, you've trodden underfoot the blood of Jesus like they did. Without coming to God, without asking Him to forgive you, without repenting of your sins and calling upon Him, you are condemned like they were. Just think about, these people lived in a time of starvation, but hell, there's no food in hell, people. There's no food in hell. There's no water in hell. None of that. They would not come. They would not come.
Our Father, we send this message out for your honor and glory. I pray that you use it to bring those to you that will come with your Spirit calling them. I pray that your word goes throughout the world, that you've given it the ability to do that today. We know that the Jews are your chosen people. And we know that you're calling them back to their place. And you said whoever would be for them, you'd be for. And whoever would be against them, you're against. And the same with us, Father. You've made a place for us in heaven so beautiful, the opposite of hell. Father, thank you for that. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your Son. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.